This is Stateside. I'm April Baer.
The UP recorded its biggest single-day increase in COVID cases this week, and Houghton County's public schools are closing face-to-face instruction starting this Monday for a two-week cool-down period. More outbreaks have been noted in Iron, Menominee, and other counties on or near the Wisconsin border. Joining us now to talk about this is Catherine Beer. She's the health officer for the Western UP Health Department. Catherine, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me on today.
What can you tell us about where the trouble spots of most concern are right now?
Right now, we are seeing quite a bit of cases and a large outbreak in our Houghton County area. We have seen some spikes in outlying counties, particularly Gogebic, but those seem to have simmered down a bit. Houghton is our main concern. For my Western UP jurisdiction.
Sure. I saw a metric on Wednesday that had it around 30 cases. Have the numbers moved very much since then?
So, you know, right now Houghton is up to 336 cases total. We are seeing anywhere from 10 to 20 new cases a day coming in over the last few days. We, jurisdiction-wise, we've seen about 135 cases in less than a week. So we are very concerned about the continued increase that we're seeing.
It wasn't that long ago the UP had extremely low COVID numbers. Is this a matter of more tests being done at places all over the region?
Testing plays somewhat into that. But really what we're seeing is, you know, people are more mobile. When the numbers were low, it was before the virus really had taken hold up here in our counties. We have a real low density of population, so it was, you know, easy to social distance when everybody was locked down. Now that we're open, people are moving around, businesses are open. You know, we're seeing just a, you know, substantial increase region-wide.
Sure. Let's talk for just a minute about hospital capacity. The number of cases, compared with Southeast Michigan at least, is still relatively low. But are the hospitals under strain dealing with all this?
Right now, we are seeing that, you know, the hospitals are maintaining a lot of the cases that we have. They started out being asymptomatic, but now we're seeing much more or a larger increase in the symptomatic cases. And oftentimes, when you see the COVID cases, people will present to the ER and needing only maybe fluids or oxygen rather than a full admit into a hospital. So especially when we're seeing younger cases, younger people, that's probably what we're seeing more is a little bit of an increase in ER visits or express care visits. The other part to know about this is some of our hospitals are smaller hospitals that, you know, aren't necessarily capable of handling a large amount of COVID cases. In fact, some of the COVID cases that we've had where they do need hospitalization, our local hospitals have either moved them to a larger regional hospital or to hospitals out of state.
Would you say that that process is going relatively smoothly? I mean, at least the hospitals have had some time to make their plans about how all this is going to work.
Oh, certainly. So they've had time to plan and to, you know, shore up that capacity. You know, our concern is that, you know, that capacity is still limited. And, you know, if we see a real surge here soon, we will not be able to handle all of those cases at once.
Give us a sense of what that might mean. In a place like Houghton, what does it take to tip hospitals over capacity? Is it a matter of, you know, a dozen cases all needing hospitalization at once?
No, it certainly would be more than a dozen. We actually have, in Houghton County, we have two hospital systems, but it's the periphery that we really need to look at. So as cases spread within the community, you know, a lot of our community workers are essential workers. So as cases spread within our area, it takes out a lot of our hospital staff, you know, a lot of our nursing staff, a lot of our aides, you know, all of our long-term care facility staff are impacted by any case, whether it's a positive or if they're a close contact of a positive, because they get pulled out of the system. So it's more of a staffing concern. We just don't have the staffing capacity. We may have the rooms available at a hospital, but very quickly we will run out of staffing capacity. So, you know, when you look at a count of how many hospital beds are available, we really need to look at how many staff are supporting those hospital beds. We also need to look at the capacity of our primary care within the region. You know, they also live and work within in the school districts and within our counties and communities. So they are impacted too by positive cases and being close contacts of positive cases. So very quickly, you know, we can see it get out of hand where our essential core healthcare workers are slowly pulled from the equation.
Could you talk to us a little bit about the main challenges of controlling additional outbreaks in remote places?
So even though we're remote, you know, people still congregate. It might often be not on a, you know, a real large scale, but they still congregate. You know, we have, you know, a population that likes their sports. We have a population that, you know, they still are just like everybody else. We want our weddings. We want, you know, to mourn the loss of our loved ones at a funeral. We want to attend church service. So, you know, we have smaller communities that are pretty tight knit. A lot of people are related. So family events can easily cause spread. You know, so those are some of the peripheral items that really play into how an outbreak impacts a small community. So when a small community like ours is hit with an outbreak, you know, we very easily could become incapacitated just by the fact that we are the people caring for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have anybody else to call in to take over that torch. So very easily we can be overwhelmed.
My limited time in the UP this summer, I did observe people masking up, although, you know, it was mostly limited to public places. What do you see? Do you see folks using masks in public places inside and out?
So generally, masking got better after Governor Whitmer put in, you know, the latest masking mandate. However, you know, people operate under their own free will. And we do see a lot of instances where people do not mask up. We also have some, you know, businesses that don't enforce masking. We encourage them to. We try to provide any education or support that we can. But it, you know, there again, it's free will that drives people to make that choice.
Do the counties that you work in have adequate access to test kits and PPE and other things that are needed right now?
Right now, we currently, you know, are set. We have plenty of test kits and PPE. Like I said, it comes down to staffing. You know, we take out a few nurses that are positive or close contacts of a positive, and or a few doctors, and we don't have the people then available to do the swabbing. So, you know, it's really for us, it's a matter of manpower.
Yeah. You know, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but before we started rolling, you mentioned that your office has been pretty overwhelmed with calls and folks who have concerns. What has that looked like for you? Can you tell us what kinds of questions you're getting right now?
Sure. There, you know, people are asking, number one, what are we doing about the outbreak? you know, what are we doing about the increase? And, you know, the message there is that we are, you know, constantly monitoring and having discussions and, you know, trying to develop what's the next best thing to do, what is the next necessary move to ensure that everyone is safe. We also get a lot of questions regarding, you know, masking and what are the benefits of masking. Some other questions that we get are in regards to what we're doing regarding mask enforcement. And, you know, that often is a difficult subject for everyone. It's not a matter of us swooping down and closing a business because they're not masking up. You know, there's certain channels we need to work through and education process that we go through. So those are some of the main concerns. People are concerned of where they can get testing. We have the the test kits. We just don't necessarily have the staffing or capacity to actually take the tests. So we're working on that.
Right. You know, I think folks who follow infectious disease might not be terribly surprised to hear that, you know, at this time of year, the uptick is happening. I just wondered how, given that the Upper Peninsula has had a chance to sort of keep an eye on what's going on at the rest of the state and study up and make some preparations, how concerned are you about the spike that's happening right now?
We're very concerned. You know, we're looking at what our options currently are as far as do we need to pull in more state resources or ask for additional help from the state to make sure that we weather this storm. You know, I just, I want to, I guess, put a plug out there for the public health staff in the Upper Peninsula. They're a hardworking crew, and I'm very, very proud to be a part of that team right now.
Catherine Beer is health officer for the Western UP Health Department. Catherine, good luck, and thanks for taking some time to update us.
Thank you for your interest in our area today.